The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by Bar Canada Air of the Day. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. You good?
Oh, good, bro.
What'd you end up? We didn't get to your football picks.
Oh,
by the way, Jason Weingarten still to come. Dr. Bob on college football. The Bear, Chris Felico on college football.
Yeah, I played a few. I added a couple today, actually, because my card was looking very short.
That's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing at all. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. It's not like I was forcing stuff today, but we talked about it throughout the week. I loved if it got in range, because most of the week it was not in range for us. I love this Jags leg for a teaser for everything. I have Survivor on it. I love it.
But not for laying the points.
Yeah, for not laying the whole points, but I love it all the way around. So it finally, you know, it was 8.5 at DraftKings most of the week, but it was like 9.5 out here. Finally got into that 8.5 range for us. So I did end up tying the Ravens into one. And then I tied the Chiefs into one where we talked about yesterday, just bring it down from the 12.5 to the 6.5. And I know that's not a long teaser and, you know, the too cool for school crowd might hate me on it, but all I got to do is get the Chiefs to win by
too
a touchdown.
Cool for school points, take it away.
Exactly. Over the disastrous Bears rolling into town. Yeah, I still played it. And then I'm on the Dolphins and Seahawks with you. Seahawks, that would concern me, I think, at the current number a little bit more. You know, again, I think Andy Dalton is like a little bit of an upgrade.
And I hear what Matt's saying about the receivers, but yeah, it bothers me a little bit.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Because you also don't know how much of that is. He's absolutely right with the receivers, and every intelligent football person I've heard talk about it has brought that up.
Yeah.
But like we also hear all the time about how one of a quarterback's skills is throwing his guys open and getting his guys open, right? And even just adjusting, think about audibles and adjustments inside the huddle. You're going to trust that way more with a veteran like Andy Dalton. So it does scare me a little bit. Seahawks still dealing with some injuries too that aren't all that great. And then I want to really love this Dolphins play, but the Waddle stuff does make it tough to
love. Me too.
Yeah.
That's the one that I sort of, it's the regret thing. It also brings up, we should bring this up too, because we talk about the Circa Survivor aside, we talk about Circa Millions, the contest, 5 plays every week, ATS, over an 18-week span. So you're talking, you know, about 90 plays a year, but 5 a week. We don't want to conflate contest picks with bets. Sometimes we will say, oh, I actually back these up with bets. Mine this week, I did. But there are going to be weeks, inevitably, because Kelly just brought up, oh, I don't really have that many bets. There's no shame in that, right? Sometimes you're just going to have your contest plays, but it's not like there's going to be a bet in your account for all of them. There are some bettors who are tremendous contest players, right, who don't necessarily back them up with bets. That's just kind of their thing. Now, most of ours are backed up with bets, you know, if not always, in my case. But with with James Salinas, for instance, like this guy, he's unabashed. He's like, no, I'm just playing the contest.
Right.
I'm not necessarily betting even, you know, a fraction of these. So,
no,
just
no,
want to point that
totally.
Out.
And it, but look, it makes it harder. That's what you and I were discussing before the show. I actually think there's a good chance your 5 plays end up being my same 5 plays for the contest.
And she pointed out the reason for that, because there's going to be a little portion of the audience who's like, what do you mean you're not backing up a place? Well, bruh, if you're betting 5 NFL sides a week, you're probably the one not doing this right, to be honest with
luck.
You. So, you know, say what you will about that. Bob is ready to go. Dr. Bob, ladies and gentlemen, is here. He is a pioneer in using predictive modeling to predict the outcomes of sporting events. He did it as a stats major at Cal so many years ago, and he made a life out of it at Dr. Bob Sports, drbobsports.com, and, of course, Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter. It is Bob Stoll. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
Good.
Fun week. This is the week I open things up a little bit in college.
Oh, you get frisky. All right, we have limited time since you were out there releasing plays and stuff. Let me just ask you one question, and then we can go into your best bets. The question has to, of course, do with Colorado, the flavor of the month for reals. I've said all week how, you know, with Colorado, I make an opening bet on them every week. I'm so excited to bet them. Last week, I'm like, whoa, 14.5? Give me that. And then Travis Hunter gets hurt, and now it's not quite 21. It's 20.5 in some places. What are your thoughts on the Colorado-Oregon number?
I made it 49-25. It's just a situation where now you finally have a team that is probably going to be content to run for 300 yards against Colorado's defense, which can't stop the run. just think it's just one of those situations where, and then they can throw it when they want to throw it. I mean, Nick's completes, what, 77, 78% of his passes. Travis Hunter's out. Colorado's not great against the pass. They're actually about average defending the pass, but they're terrible against the run. I think Oregon's going to be able to do whatever they want offensively. And Oregon, although they've been defensively, they're better than average. They're not elite. They're better than average. But what they are particularly good at is stopping the pass, and Colorado throws the ball 71% of the time. So the matchup is not ideal for Colorado. So I think the number is probably fair, but okay, the matchup is kind of creating a little bit of value for Oregon.
Okay. You said you open it up week three here in college football. I'll let you get to your picks. Do you typically open it up week three, by the way?
It's week four, but yes.
Week four, correct.
Week four in college.
Yeah, week zero.
I have enough in-season data. If everybody's played three games where I started to go, oh, okay, and there's some in-season stuff that I start to apply in week four. It kind of takes a bigger weighting than my priors starting in week four. And the in-season stuff sort of creates some value. I go to the in-season stuff a little earlier than the market, or I weigh it a little bit heavier in week four than the market does, and I've found success doing that. So I'm throwing some game. I guess I have six or seven
Ooh,
best bets.
All right,
and
let's hear them. What you
I
got?
I don't think I've had that many the whole year.
What you got?
My favorite one is Louisiana Lafayette. Now, those who listened at the beginning of the year know that I had Buffalo under 6.5 wins as a win total bet. And Buffalo is 0-3, including giving up 40 points to Fordham, and they lost that game. So things are looking bad for Buffalo. And here you have Louisiana Lafayette, who is a team that can run the ball. And the line dropped from 10-8 on Monday morning due to the starting quarterback Wooldridge being injured and out for the season. I sort of expected that and was sort of hoping for that. Zion Chris is the backup. Actually, Chandler Fields was the starter last year, and he's third string now. Zion Chris has topped him, and we kind of see why. After last week, Chris completed 14 of 20 passes for 170-something yards, but he ran for 105 yards. One of those was an 80-yard run, but in his career, he's shown flashes of being able to run. Anyway, I mean, 165 yards running on 10 career runs. Even if you take out the 80-yarder, that's 85 yards on 9 runs. This guy can run. I saw the clip of his 80-yard run. He is fast. And Buffalo cannot stop the run anyway. All I have to do is turn around and hand the ball off. They got two running backs with career running averages of 6 yards or more. They're going to be able to run all day long against Buffalo's defense, which cannot stop the run at all. They're not good against the pass either. And Buffalo's offense is anemic. They're horrible. So Buffalo is worse than I thought. And Louisiana Lafayette, I think, is going to be better with Zion Chris at quarterback. And they have a solid defense that's going to be able to keep Buffalo down. So I think it's a complete blowout. I think the line's up to 9.5, maybe 10 now. I like Louisiana Lafayette as the best bet up to minus 11. So it's my favorite play of the week.
So you would play it at minus 10. Against Buffalo.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. What's number two?
Well, it's one of tonight's games. I had Wisconsin last week as the best bet, and they ended up covering against Georgia Southern and had no right whatsoever to not even win the game. They won by 21. They were plus 6 in turnovers against Georgia Southern, but the Badgers gave up 474 total yards to the Eagles in that game, and their offense is really struggling. They're averaging 6.4 yards per play, but they face teams, including Buffalo, that would combine to allow 6.8 yards per play to an average team. So Georgia Southern has a horrible defense. Buffalo has a horrible defense. And Washington State is the only team that has a decent defense as they played, and they lost that game straight up. If you can't move the ball for over 7 yards against Georgia Southern and Buffalo, you've got problems offensively with that new system. And defensively, Wisconsin's defense was just expected to be good because they're always good. But they've always made more of the talent than there was there under former coaching staff, with Jim Leonard now gone and the new coaching staff in. The defense is kind of, we're not that talented. We're just very good schematically. Well, now they're not good schematically, and they're giving up 5.2 yards per play to a collection of teams that would average 5.1 against an average defense. So they're mediocre defensively. They're worse than average offensively. Shouldn't have covered last week even close. And Purdue, they're what we thought they were. They're an average team, but they were getting 7 points when I released it on Monday. They're still getting 6 tonight, and I think there's value there. So I plus 6 or more. I like Purdue plus the points at home tonight.
Would you take the 5.5 if it were 5.5?
Oh, it's gone down to 5.5. Yeah, there's still value. I thought it was okay. 6 still.
You're
still value there.
Yeah.
No, it went back up to 6. It just went back up to 6, and it's 6.5 at 5 dimes, 6.5 at Circa.
Okay.
I thought it was 6. Okay, yeah, it just went back up this morning.
Grab the 6, people. And you're so right about Georgia Southern. I mean, the interception parade by Georgia Southern's quarterback, and horrific, one worse than the previous, was just absolutely horrible against Wisconsin.
Yeah, they marched down the field and then turned it over.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I'm like, great. 60, great, I was lucky to win that one.
60 seconds, Bob. Let's squeeze in one more if you could.
Oh, gosh. The New England Patriots, I like in the NFL. Zach Wilson cannot diagnose a defense. He can't diagnose coverages. And, Bill Belichick has had a field day. Wilson hasn't come close to beating Belichick, and he's had a 6.6 interception rate against the Patriots. The offense is really struggling. I think New England's underrated right now. Their success rate ranks pretty highly, the success rate differential in the NFL, but it hasn't come through yet on the field. I think it will this week. So New England -2.5 juiced up a little bit, but up to -3. I like New England.
I like it. I like the Bill Belichick versus Zach Wilson matchup very, very much. Bob, appreciate it. Thanks for running off after you release some of your plays. Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, at Dr. Bob Sports, that is. DrBobSports.com, DrBobSports.com, on the World Wide Web. The information superhighway, Kelly, is what they call it. Thank you, Bob.
Right.
As always.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
My man, Dr. Bob. Pioneer. He doesn't like pioneer. What did he say that one time? He goes, I prefer legend.
Doesn't like pioneer, prefers legend. Yeah, yeah.
Pioneer makes me sound old. I prefer legend.
Hey, you know what's close to irresponsible betting Saturdays? Irresponsible betting Friday night college football.
Friday night.
If you don't think I'm on Purdue with Bob, I am.
We're all on Purdue now tonight, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Chris Valica, the Bear on college football on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, MLB, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Stop betting in the dark. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code WINNER to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. It's Gil Alexander live from Bar Canada at the D here in downtown. Kelly Bidlin alongside as well. Hey, how you doing, man? You got to hit the thing again. Here. No, you're not. I don't hear you. Wheels of steel. Okay. Kelly Bidlin's here. I don't know if anybody else hears him, but I don't.
Breaking things.
There you go.
There I am.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, he hosts not one but two podcasts over at Fox Sports. The Bear Bets Pod, pro football and college football editions. The college football one comes out on Thursdays. The pro football editions come out on Fridays. Our own Will Hill, who does the Megapod as well, he's part of that as well. Ladies and gentlemen, you may know him as the Bear. It's Chris Valica. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well there. I'm happy to hear that we got the noise issues squared away. And now that you're actually toughened up, I had a stunt idea for you. I figured that now that you're used to working under difficult situations, we could do something like Airport Week for a numbers game. Like we can start at LAX on Monday. We'll head on over to O'Hare on Tuesday, down to Hartsfield in Atlanta. Up to Logan and then wrap it up at JFK.
Yeah, the only
I want to put you in a difficult spot.
Thank you.
That's my goal here.
I appreciate that. The only difference on those is I can't actually text. Like I text the casino owner, Derek, and I'm like, hey, Derek, since no one else is doing this, can we take down the music? And Derek's like, cool, I'll make it happen. I can't do that at LAX and at O'Hare.
Awesome.
It doesn't work that way. Just putting
you and air traffic control don't have that kind of relationship.
No, we don't. Excuse me, could you turn? No, you can't do that. Can't turn down the music here in the airport. We'll send that up the flagpole, as they say. We'll set it up and see what they say.
Yeah, sure.
Airport tour.
Absolutely.
Trying to liven your show up a little bit.
I appreciate that. Okay, I'm going to do the same thing I did with you with Dr. Bob. He had limited time. Your thoughts real briefly on Colorado and Oregon. That number 20.5.
I'm not going to get involved on the side here. I might. What's the Oregon team total? That would be the one bet that I would be looking at making, because there's a real chance Oregon could. If Oregon has 12 possessions in the game, there's a legit chance they could score on 9 of them. I think the fact that you've got the best defense by far that Colorado has played this year, and you don't have Travis Hunter, that's going to be a problem. Oregon is a hostile environment for those who have not been to Austin. Yes, Colorado did go to TCU and win, but this is a tough spot. So Oregon 50 plus points, I think, is definitely in the cards. And I think I saw earlier in the week a total of around 48 and a half. So if it's still south of 50, I would take a long look at the Oregon team total going over.
Oregon team total at DraftKings 45 and a half.
You say Oregon.
45 and a half?
Yep. 45 and a half. Yeah.
I might need to get across the border into Ohio very soon. our hotel's in Kentucky this week, so I can't fire up the DraftKings app in Kentucky just yet. But I guarantee you when I get over to Cincinnati, I will be making a play on that.
Yeah, 45 and a half makes sense. You conflate the total with the spread. 45 and a half, 24, that kind of thing. 45 and a half, 24 and a half. Okay. Last question about this game, though. Speculating here, do you believe, despite your opinion on that, on the outcome of the game, that Shedeur Sanders will still come out of this as a viable Heisman candidate?
I don't know if I would. He's going to put up great numbers, but the problem is I just don't know how viable of a candidate he's going to be when his team is probably going to be 7-5 at best, and you're going to be looking at Caleb Williams, Michael Penix, and some other guys who are going to be putting up similar type numbers, if not better, and their teams are going to be in the 10-2 type range. So it's just the way Heisman voters vote that I think. Look, he's going to have a great year, but I just don't know if the combination of Colorado's record up against those other teams and those other quarterbacks having great numbers, I don't know if voters will ultimately will land there.
Okay. What do you like best this weekend?
I like Mississippi State getting 6.5 at South Carolina. I wonder if the residuals from last week with South Carolina might catch up with them a little bit this week. They lost one of their do-it-all wide receivers, Juice Wells. Didn't do anything in the on offense in the second half. A very physical game. At some point, Will Rogers, he didn't suddenly forget how to play football. He's struggled so far this year. Mississippi State's been bad on third down. So there are a couple of things that I think are a little variance related there. You expect Rogers to play better. You would expect them to convert a little more than 30% on third down. So I think after being embarrassed at home last week by LSU, I would expect the Bulldogs to make a better impression of itself. And I grabbed Mississippi State +7.5.
+7.5.
Another game.
Would you play it at that? Would you play it at the
six
current?
And a half, rather, I'm sorry.
6.5. Oh, yeah, 6.5. Okay.
I think it is. Yeah.
Just making sure.
I was looking at my next bet because I was going to say I grabbed A&M. It's -7.5 against Auburn. I think it's 8 now in most places. And I'd still lay the 8 with the Aggies. You look at the one lone road game that Auburn had, 14 points, 4 turnovers. Peyton Thorne struggled at Cal. The A&M defense is better than Cal. The A&M offense is far better than Cal. The Aggies, I think, got right last week in blowing out a bad UL Monroe team. And everyone's pointing to the loss of Miami. What if Miami turns out to be pretty darn good? That would change some opinions of that loss. The A&M is better throughout. I think that defense will make things tough on Auburn, and I would expect Connor Ringland and that offense to continue to grow. Another team total that I did plan I like was Texas, over 33. I don't know what the number is right now, but I think after sleepwalking through that Wyoming game, I would think the Texas offense would get right here. Baylor gave up 42 to Texas State, and it just doesn't look like a Dave Aranda type defense that we've been used to seeing. They were bad last year. They don't look like they have a ton of team speed on that back end, and I think that offense could put up a big number in Waco tomorrow. And then the last game that I really liked was Tulsa getting 4 against Northern Illinois. The Huskies did go to BC and beat a bad Eagles team. But since then, they scored 11 points in a loss to Southern Illinois, 11 points in a loss to Nebraska. The offense is just non-existent. Now you have Tulsa, who has the horse racing analogy of they're dropping in class. They got drubbed by two of the better teams in the country in Washington and Oklahoma. They're punching more along their weight lines this week. So I grabbed the Golden Hurricane +4 in DeKalb against IU.
All right. Your audio cut out a little bit when you were making the Texas team total. That was over 33.5 on the Longhorns?
Yeah, that was the number that I had gotten. I don't know what it is. Like I was saying, I don't think this Baylor defense has improved from last year, and I think there are a ton of mismatches available to Quinn Ewers if he has just enough time.
Okay, we did not, or you did not mention, you mentioned a couple SEC games, but you did not, by design, because you probably don't want to play on it, mention Alabama in their game. And Alabama right now is, well, 6.5, let's call it, hosting Ole Miss. You don't want any part of this Bama team here, do you? Laying
no,
points.
I don't want any part of this game. It's really it feels like Ole Miss is just a super trendy underdog here. And that's not to say that the Rebels can't go there. Because it's like, if you go back since 2016, the times when Alabama has been favored by 7 points or fewer, they're 3-6 in those games. And they've lost three times at home, including to Texas a couple of weeks ago. So it's you don't necessarily want to trust that trend. But at the same time, I wonder if I had to play the game, I would play Alabama, because I think there might have been a little something there with the quarterback situation, where the team might have not necessarily liked that Jalen Miller was pulled. He's their best option.
He is.
He can run. Maybe he's not the best thrower, but I think there might have been a little bit of a I don't want to say a locker room blow up or anything, but I think the fact that Milroe is reinserted into the starting lineup now, I think you're going to see the Alabama offense, man, not that they weren't giving a ton of effort last week. I think they'll be a little bit better this week, certainly in the running game. The defense is still good, so if I had to play the game, I would lay the 6.5 with the Tide.
If you had to play, yeah. I think maybe a little discontent might be a good characterization. I think one might might go there. So real quick, 30 seconds at the end here. Let's just talk about Alabama for the rest of the season, though. The adjusted season win total is 8.5. Obviously, some books put up, two miss and make the playoffs, the 4-team playoff. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand on them then macro for the rest of the season? Would you go over on the 8.5? What bet would you make in terms of the playoffs?
I would probably... It sounds kind of weird, but going over the 8.5, I think, is a little tough for me to swallow right now, because it's basically saying that you're going to lose. You're expected to lose at A&M. You're expected to lose to LSU at home, and then maybe lose one other game. So okay. You wouldn't expect Alabama to go 8-4, but at the same time, are you expecting them to go to A&M or LSU looks good and then survive everybody else? I don't know. So
okay.
I'm kind of taking a wait-and-see approach.
Chris Felica, everybody. Bear Bets Pod, Thursdays and Fridays. College football version on Thursday. Thank you, sir. Jason Weingarten coming up. Numbers Game, VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back with another week of football. DraftKings Sportsbooks keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw $5 down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up with code VEGAS. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Kelly, the crown is yours.
That's right.
What are you smiling about over there?
For whatever reason, I've really rubbed some Titans fans the wrong way over the past couple months of us discussing the season. Them and Patriots fans, they come after me.
Really?
Man. Yeah, they come after me.
Titans fans of all fan bases?
Yeah.
They don't sound like the most hostile fan base there is.
Yeah, no.
They're from Nash, Vegas.
Just
chill.
Time to turn the page on your quarterback situation. I'll believe in you then. I'm just not believing in Ryan Tannehill.
Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. Segments with Jason, once dubbed by Will Hill as gambling porn. How you doing? What's happening, Jason?
I'm pretty good. Can't complain. Having a pretty decent week.
Pretty decent week? What have you been? Decent week in terms of betting? Is that what you're referring to?
Just, yeah, everything in general. Betting's been fine. Always could be better. You know, whenever you ask me about how I'm doing betting, I'm going to sound like Nick Saban. You know, I'm going to say, well, we need to tighten this up. This needs to change. We need to work on that. And you look at the scoreboard, and it's 42-10 at halftime.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. What would you say your sports betting leaks are? If I said to you, okay, this needs to shape up, what would you be your leak specifically?
Oh, I mean, I'm well aware of, you know, what I do poorly and what I should do less of. For example, golf betting can always, you know, kind of, you could always do a little bit less golf betting. That can always, you know, change. It's like baccarat for the house, kind of. It can really change your entire week. Or really, I guess baccarat for the casino is really the whole profit driver. It's not for me for golf, but
yeah. I don't know if you know this. We have a golf podcast. It's called Long Shots. Maybe you want to check that out.
What?
No. It's just a joke. No, it's not a joke. It actually exists. I was just imitating the promo. Okay, so golf is your leak. Baseball is not. It never is. But at this time of year, you bet less of it, correct?
I try to. I mean, you know, that's one of my other leaks. Yeah. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, man, I only have one, two bets today, whatever. And then 3 hours later, I'm like, wow, how did I end up with, you know, a whole, you know, 17 bets worth of action or whatever. Yeah, sometimes it happens.
What do you like today? What have you bet today, or what are you thinking about betting?
I bet the Padres. That line has gone up a little bit since I bet it before I went to sleep. It's in the mid-160s right now. I don't know if we talked about this yesterday. Yeah, Waldron or whatever. I bet Waldron, 154.
Yeah, against Hudson for the Cardinals. What were we talking about the other day? What were you referring to?
The Padres are still alive. They're only four games out of the wild card. Stranger things have happened with nine games left. They got a three-game series versus the Giants coming up this weekend.
Yeah, so I went through this earlier on the show. I'll say it again. So if the Padres go 9-0, let's just, you know, obviously there's scenarios where if they went 8-1, they could do it too. But let's just use the 9-0. If they go 9-0, the Cubs can do no better than 4-5. The Cubs, who have dropped 10 of 13 and can't seem to beat anybody right now, Cubs can do no better than 4-5 still. Marlins can do no better than 5-4, and the Reds can do no better than 5-3. All of those things must happen for the Padres to make the postseason. 30-1.
I mean, it's higher than 30-1.
Well, 30 way to, yeah, it's way higher. That's what I'm saying. 30-1 is what the price is. That's not a good price.
Oh, was that the 6 seed price?
No, the 6 seed price is 90-1. So, yes, that's a good point.
Yeah. It went up. It went up from 80 to 1 to 90 to 1.
Yeah, so it's – well, maybe it's 80 to 1. I mean, you got to shop around. So whoever has that, DraftKings does. That might be a more creative – like if you insist on betting this, that's the more creative way to do it, because the chances of them getting past both the Cubs and the Diamondbacks, let's say, to number 5 are even more remote. I didn't even suggest that. So, yes, that's a great point. If you are going to bet this – and I don't recommend doing it, but if you are, that would be the better bet to make.
Pro tip.
It's your pro tip of the hour. Thank you, Jason. Good point there.
I wouldn't count on it happening, but I would like to see it happen. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it would be.
It'd be entertaining.
It would be entertaining, but again, like, they're 75-78. Their run differential is so good. They shouldn't be 75-78, right? They only have themselves. Well, I mean, I should say that, you know, it's the kind of lazy way to say they only have themselves to blame, but they have this awful record in one-run games, right? Their extra inning record is just, you know, I mean, you look at this. The one-run record, their record in one-run games is 7-22. Extra innings this year, they are 0-11. That's almost impossible, right? So I can say that lazy, oh, they only have themselves to blame. I mean, I guess you can couch it that way, but the very, like, the random nature of that 0-11 is off the charts.
Yeah, they just didn't get it done when they needed to get it done. You know, like, that sucks, but they just didn't get it done.
But and that's the difference, right? The Giants, who have a negative run differential, who are one game better than the Padres, they're 11-3, by contrast, in extra innings this year. That's all you need to know, you know? That's it. That's what baseball comes down to. That's all you need to know.
This really is. Like, we talk about it often, but yeah. Shop around within the same book, right? Yeah. You're getting 30-1 on them to make the playoffs. It's 65-1 for them to make the sixth seed. And, okay, if you maybe wanted to throw a couple bucks on it for them to make the 5 seed, they're 600-1 in that market.
Yeah. Isn't there, I mean, not to get all in the weeds about this, but isn't there a roster construction commentary to be made about what we just talked about? Where, like, the Giants, with a payroll that's $100 million less than the Yankees, let's say, right? They have figured out, well, the best use of our funds is making our relief pitchers great. They rode to 3 World Series based on relief pitchers. That was the most common thread between those 3 championships. And having Tranquilo Camilo, who is their, you know, closer. do the Padres, are the Padres going to figure out that getting a big name stacked lineup of hitters ain't necessarily the way to get you to the promised land?
Probably not. I mean, it's been pretty obvious for like 35 years now in baseball that
Why don't certain franchises get that, Jason? It's amazing.
You know, I mean, there was a whole book written about this, and it's led to multiple, you know, strikes, and there's plenty of owners that just don't understand this. You know, that's baseball, though. You're just not going to win a championship buying players.
Yeah. And then you can go into like teams like the Rockies, who have to deal with their home ballpark at Coors and how they have never been able to figure out. And they have the tallest task of them all, right? They have never been able to figure out how to construct their roster to best play at Coors. And maybe their task is so tall that they'd almost have to have two optimal rosters, one for home and one on the road. So maybe it's always going to be tough for the Rockies above and beyond, but just taking to the extreme. So 90-1, you would take a shot at the number six seed, or you wouldn't even bet that for the Padres?
No, I'd do it. I'd do it myself with moneyline parlays, open parlays, and you know, because so many things have to happen. Like you mentioned,
yeah, it's so many. All of those things have to happen that I just mentioned. Not only 9-0, but again, Cubs going, no. They can't go better than 4-5. Marlins can't go better than 5-4. Reds can't go better than 5-3. Do you agree with me when I was in the same talk at the beginning of the show? I said the best single baseball bet out there, like if you had to make one right now, you're forced to make a baseball bet on a division or on a make the playoffs, that Astros to win the division still at -110 is still the best bet on the board because the Rangers and Mariners have to play each other so many times still.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rangers, you know, the Rangers and the Mariners play today. So this is basically the start of the playoffs for all, you know, purposes. It's Rangers-Mariners is a play-in, playoff sort of series right now. So, yeah, I mean, I do think the Astros probably have a leg up there because these two teams are going to have to play themselves now. Yes. And it's an interesting spot. I don't know. I think I probably lead Mariners tonight. I haven't bet it yet, though. Did you bet tonight's game?
I have not bet it yet, but I'm right here after the show. I'm betting the Astros division to win the division. The Rangers and Mariners, I misspoke earlier. I said seven more times. There's one game at the beginning of October, right? Seven more games between the two teams. So, like, one of those teams, Mariners or Rangers, they'd have to go 5-2. Right, to make themselves above the fray, to get past the Astros, who are facing three games against the Royals here. The Astros could have a huge leg up by the end of the weekend on this. So, what else besides baseball are you betting? What's your favorite football play? NFL, week three.
NFL, let's see. I don't think I bet a ton of NFL yet this week. Still kind of annoyed with my stuff last week. I had the Jets, wasn't happy with that. I have the Rams +2. That's on Monday night. I like that. What do you think of Rams-Bengals Monday Night Football this week?
Well, we don't know if it's going to be Burrow or Browning. So, I mean, that's obviously going to go a huge long way towards answering the question as to whether or not I like that. But if it's Jake Browning and not Joe Burrow, yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I see it's moved back out to three.
Oh, well, you got to...
Not looking great.
You said
already.
Two? You got to get the three, that's for sure. Get the three.
What about the Chargers game? I love the Chargers.
I don't want
the Chargers.
Oh, I don't want
any versus the Vikings.
Any part of it? I got to run, Jason, but I don't want any part of it. If I bet the Chargers again,
I can't wait for that game.
You could slap me in the neck. You could stand in line. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Out of Survivor. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Kelly and I coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN shows are clashing. We've got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win. At stake, a $1,000 voucher at Circa Sportsbooks to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. To sweeten the deal for you, you'll save 10% when you sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription and use promo code ANG. Bragging rights and a juicy futures ticket is on the line. It's time to start betting smarter and help us do the same. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up for a new VSiN Pro annual subscription. Save 10% with promo code ANG. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. And once again, have we clarified what this means? This means that the winner, The show that is the winner then will have a $1,000 voucher at Circa Sportsbooks, which somehow will be raffled off between the people who actually put the winning code. So let's say it's us, and it's ANG. Everybody who did the ANG part would be eligible for this one.
No, they get 10% off. We become eligible for the money.
They get the 10% off. They're not eligible for the $1,000?
No.
Oh, for God's sake. Really? Why do we need it?
I don't know.
I want to win.
That's to incentivize you to promote it more.
Oh. No, I want them. I want the listeners to win.
Right. Well, hey, maybe we can do that.
Okay.
We could just how about that? We'll add on to the promo. You go sign up, and then Gil and I will do our own raffle to see who gets the $1,000 ticket.
What did we promise? Matt Brown's going to promote us, too, and he gets 10%.
Yeah, Matt Brown will do the same thing.
Making all kinds of side deals. I have no idea what we've promised. Okay, so main thing is you get 10% off with promo code ANG at vsin.com/subscribe. We just don't want to be relegated. That's the main thing.
That's right. Yeah,
we just don't want to be relegated.
Exactly, yep.
Enough votes to stay alive. Stay in the premier.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, football week number 3. By the way, Dr. Bob is right. It's week 4 in college football. It's really week 5 if you add week 0. Right,
if you add week 0, yeah. It's really week 5. Are we really just going to keep calling it week 0?
It's so stupid.
Just call it week 1. What does it matter if everything gets shifted back?
What are the dumbest things in sports? Week 0.
Oh, man.
How about lucky loser in tennis when you don't qualify, but then someone drops out and they put you in anyway? You're a lucky loser.
We'd need a whole weekend to compile a great list of this stuff. But remember when week 0 first started and it was like, there was 2 games. So they were like, well, we don't really want to call it week 1. I kind of got it then, but like we've done this every year now and they keep adding games to it. Just call it week 1 and move everything else back a week.
Okay, so these are, again, first of all, let me just say this also before we get into our reviewing all our picks here. Beating the Book Megapod and Guessing Lines week after week. The downloads are just phenomenal, and I just want to express my gratitude to everybody because our audio has been janky. My audio yesterday was a little janky. Everybody else sounded great, but I sounded like I was on the moon. We're going to correct that for next week, too. We were fixing that the guests couldn't hear us, and now I got messed up. But we'll get that right. But even despite it all, Kelly, like the loyalty to that show is so high that people are like feeding for that show. So I just want to thank everybody for continued loyalty to the Megapod and Guessing Lines, which, you know, I talked to Chrissy last night and even he called and he's like, it's great, man. Like he's so gracious about it.
Yeah.
And he's such a nice supporter. Now he misses it. He wishes he was still doing it with us.
We wish he was still doing it with us too.
But like, even he was like, this is the sweetest about it. Here are our, so thank you to everybody again. Like I cannot thank you enough. The picks that I have played in the contest that I will be playing in the contest again, I'm going with New England, Miami, New England, 2.5-point favorite against the New York Jets at the New York Jets. I'm taking Miami. This is the one that I don't love in terms of my actual bets, but I did take the Dolphins in the contest. Dolphins are they 6 in the contest? 6.5 is what I think I poorly betted at, but I think in the contest they might be 6. The Miami Dolphins. Are they 6? We're checking right now. Kelly's getting on that right now. But the Dolphins
are 6.5.
6.5 in the contest, too, hosting the Broncos. Commanders, 6.5-point dogs is where I bet them against the Buffalo Bills at home is Washington, and Ral John, as we used to call it. Seahawks laying 6 against the Andy Dalton-led Carolina Panthers. And the Lions, again, how this is only 3 points. We talked about this with Matt Brown earlier. Lions, if you're as good as you say you are, you should cover this game against the Atlanta Falcons. And I think this is a recency bias overreaction in the market in the same way that Seattle was catching all those points against the Lions last week. How are the Lions, everybody's darling number 4 team in the NFC, just like the Seahawks were the other half's darling number 4 team in the NFC, how are you only a 3-point favorite against the Atlanta Falcons?
I think I'm going to attack that game live betting. I like your side, and that's the side I'm looking at too. But my thought with this one, this game, Gil, is, okay, the Falcons, they have a good running game, and they have a decent defense. So far, that's what we've seen. Mm-hmm. I don't trust Desmond Ridder in this passing game at all. It's like they've... You know, Matt even said, I can't remember if it was on air or during a break, but it's like Kyle Pitts, you're just letting waste out there. We know how good this kid could be, but you don't have a quarterback that can really get him to the ball in spots where he can make big plays. So I'm going, I think, into it with an in-game strategy of whether the Lions get behind or ahead, I'd be okay live betting. Because even if they get ahead, how are the Falcons catching up?
Isn't the Chargers-Minnesota game, which also, by the way, if it weren't for the Joe Burrow injury, we asked the question on the Megapod, what's the game you want no part of? If you live in a bizarre world, you had to bet 15 of these, but you got one free pass. The Joe Burrow injury makes that Bengals-Rams game sort of the de facto answer to that question for me. But let's say we knew the status of a quarterback there. The Chargers-Vikings becomes that game for me. But what you just said, Kelly, wouldn't the Chargers-Vikings game be the in-game game of the week? Like, whoever falls behind in that game, isn't there a play on them?
The only thing is because where the spread's at, right? Like, you might have to wait a little longer than you'd want to because I'd be wanting to catch, like, over a touchdown with, you know, with one of them, right?
Right.
And, like, with it being at one touchdown out of the gates ain't going to shift that number so much, right? My point is you might just have to wait a bit.
Oh, no, sure, you will. Yeah, you'll have to pick your spots, but I'm just saying.
I will be, yes, we were, what were we joking off air of, like, hey, I love the Chargers bet, too. I'm just not making it.
Yeah, Jason ended his segment by saying, I love the Chargers, and I'm thinking as he's going away, me too, but I'm not betting them.
So, yes, I think if there is a spot, time, score, situation with the right live number, yes, I could be looking to get in on the Chargers side.
My favorite two-team teaser, 6-point, is the Jaguars and the Steelers. The Steelers, for the third straight week to start the season, are 2.5-point dogs, this time on the road against the Raiders. They did not cover the teaser leg week one against the Niners. They did, obviously, against the Browns with those two bookended defensive touchdowns. So they are the leg that I'm going on with the Jaguars. And then Survivor, again, just to wrap it up, I'm really struggling. Three entries left. Some combination of the Jaguars and Chiefs. By the way, that combination could end up being Jags 3, Chiefs nothing. But but I don't know if I'm going to do it that way or not. It could be Jags 2, Chiefs 1, Chiefs 2, Jags 1. It will definitely not be Chiefs 3-0.
Okay.
But it could be Jags 3-0.
See, as your friend, I want to say, throw ball of the Jags. As your producer, I want you to have one that you ensure a victory, you know what I mean? Or play another team that gives you another chance so we can keep talking Survivor with you financially invested.
Jags are going to get beat by Texas, by the Texans. I'm going to come in here really, some friend you are. Some friend you are. And you're doing Jags for
everyone. I'm doing Jags, yeah. And that is most of my bets this week are kind of tied into the Jags. This is one of those weeks I don't think is a great, great teaser week, except for I love the Jags leg. So I'm playing some smaller teasers. And I've played two so far, the Ravens, and then I've played the Chiefs down. Yes, I know it looks a little weird, but it's Chiefs down to 6.5 with everything going on with the Bears this week. I think this could be we talked about the Chiefs' struggles on offense. I think this is the get-right game for the Chiefs, and we see a pretty big blowout there.
And historically, if you're in historical numbers, some people are, some people aren't. Patrick Mahomes does not do well as a double-digit favorite against the number.
No, you're right. They usually don't blow out teams at home. No. I get all that, but that's...
Because the Chiefs take the foot off the pedal.
Right. That's where I wouldn't be touching this game at 12.5, 13. I think you get it below a touchdown, it becomes a little bit more interesting. The other bet I have with the Jags... the only other teaser that I might add, because these ones are even smaller teasers for me, but is the Steelers. Because there's not necessarily a second leg I love this week, so I'm trying to spread it out a little bit more. And then I played Jags team total over 27.5 as well. That was not on the graphic, but I did play over their team total.
Man, you are Jags every which way.
Jags every which way, yep. And then I am Dolphins, 6.5 with you. Seahawks, 4.5. I got that on Monday. That was right as we were having that conversation guessing lines about, hey, what could happen with this Panthers game tonight? Monday Night Football. Team total is on the graphic.
Yeah.
It's on there. And I bet the Seahawks then. I'm a little bit more nervous now that it's Andy Dalton and Dalton playing in that game. But this is, you ask me all this time about this all the time with golf, different golf tournaments. This is one of the weeks where even if the amount of bets looks sort of similar to what I have in a regular week, the amount of money behind them is not the same.
Interesting.
Okay. I'm not thrilled by this week.
I will tell you that, again, through 2 weeks and obviously one game now last night, the season-long bets also, like I have Eberflus, first coach fired at over 15-1. He's plus 150 now. You know, Panthers to be last, winless. Obviously, the Cardinals are the biggest obstacle to that. That's almost 16-1. LaFleur, coach of the year, we'll see. But, like, all the preflop, the alternate season win total under on the Giants, I did have the alternate season win total over on the Commanders. That was the fifth, so that one's not quite as sexy. Mm. But, like, all of them through this very short portion of the season look oh so nice, especially that Eberflus one. We'll see.
Steelers and Patriots are my big ones under, so they're looking pretty good so far too, but long way to go.
Long way to go. And if the Chargers lose, like, is Staley on the hot seat? And it was pointed out on the Megapod. That's not what the Spanos family does. They don't, like, you know, they don't shuttle off their coaches like that. So I don't know. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Good luck with all your bets.